Oh man, where would we be? What would we do without him? Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. We're going to start. Praise God. If you don't have your Bibles, we brought one for you on the TV up here. Tell all your friends you went to church and watched TV. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's pray before we get into his word to make sure what he wants said is said today. Father, we honor you this morning. We love you, and we just give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, we don't look at this part as the drag part of the service or the, oh, I just hope he gets done fast part of the service. No, this is where we receive our help. This is where we receive our direction. This is where we receive our answers. And Father, we thank you that you'll speak to us today. Father, I thank you that you and the Holy Ghost know every single thing that everybody in this room is going through. Father, you know their deepest thoughts, their deepest desires, Father, the problems that trouble their minds. You know it all. And Lord, I thank you that through the ministering of the word, that you can touch every single person's heart represented here today. And Lord, only you can do that, because I don't know what everybody's going through. And Father, it would take me so long to try to cover a message that in my natural mind would cover what I know everybody's going through. So Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you that he enlightens us today. I thank you for fresh revelation. I thank you the word becomes alive to us. And Lord, I thank you for answers. And I thank you for all the people that are here this morning that are faithful to come and hear the word. And Lord, you said this in your word. You said that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled or they will be satisfied. So Lord, I thank you that they came out here today. I thank you that if they're not hungry for the word, they get hungry right now. And because of that, you fill them, you satisfy them, you bless them, and you give them something today that's pertinent to their life, that hits the bullseye of what they're going through. And I thank you that we walk out of here changed and that we go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. You know, this is a kind of maybe a bad way to say this. I can't think of any other word because, you know, the Bible talks a lot about pride and how that's not good. But when I say I pride myself in this, I guess I should say I strive for this, to be a pastor who preaches something that's practical for your life. That, you know, I don't want to just come in and get you excited and you know, get you just feeling good. I want you to be able to walk out of here. And if you do what the word says, you'll see change come into your life. And so today's one of those practical messages. But it's not just, well, it's just so practical in a generic or average sense. It's one of these messages that will keep your life safe. It'll keep you out of financial problems. It'll keep you from going the wrong places, doing the wrong things, and possibly could keep you from losing your life. And so I'm excited about today's message. These are scriptures that I often meditate on and try to endeavor to live my life by because, you know, when I had kids, you know, I used to think the world was all about me. And then I got married and I found out real quick that it's not all about me. And then when I had children, I really found out nothing is about you anymore. That it's all about them and it's about, you know, honoring your wife and being a blessing to her. And those are three people, Courtney, Abby, and Caleb, that I just love, you know, more than any natural thing in this earth. And so, but apart from Jesus, you know, they're right below Jesus in my Heavenly Father. And then they're there. And, you know, I don't want to make mistakes. And I don't want to miss God. And I don't want to do things that could jeopardize me and cause my family to suffer and cause my kids to suffer or to cause my family to be hurt. And so I meditate on these scriptures all the time and I endeavor to live my life by them because it's that important. Amen? So let's look at Proverbs 3 and we're going to read 5 and 6 today. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding in all your ways. I stress that because it's important to hear that part. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, here's what you have to understand, and that's why I'm so pumped about the book, because if you don't have the revelation of God as your father, and God as a good father, then you need that book, and it needs to get on the inside of you. Because when you know when you have kids, or if you have children, you know all you want for your kids is blessing and good things. You want them always provided for. You want them always protected. You want them always taken care of. You want them to have the best. You want them to be blessed. Well, God wants that for his children. And so when the Bible says that he shall direct your paths, the knowledge that we have about Him being our Heavenly Father, we can then infer, we can then say that the paths that He wants to direct us into are only paths filled with good things. They're only paths of righteousness besides still waters, right? Into green pastures, restoring your soul. He only wants to lead you in paths of prosperity. He only wants to lead you in paths of health. He only wants to lead you in paths of victory and joy and peace. So we can know by when we say, well, what's the path the Lord's going to direct me on? It's only filled with good things. You see, His will for your life is where the blessings are. That's why I tell people, you know, when we're training our kids, of course, they're a little young for this yet, but they're going to be trained that, listen, it ain't about what you want to do in life. What does God want you to do? Because that's where the blessing will be. You know, I was growing up, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be this. Well, see, the problem was what I wanted to be wasn't what God wanted for me. Because first, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. That didn't work. Secondly, I would just rather move to a cabin in some desolate place and hunt for the rest of my life. Well, that wasn't God's plan, so I had to conform to God's plan. Because if I would have done that, my life would have been miserable, and everybody that was connected to my life and that should have been blessed by my life, they would have been miserable as well. And so the paths that God has for you are always good paths. And so I stress to you today, if there's any void in your life, if there's any bit of frustration, if there's any bit of this just is not working, check up on your heart. Check up, am I in the will of God? If God was to stand before you today and ask you, do you believe that you're in my perfect will? What would be your answer? Do you believe that you're, now that doesn't mean we do everything right. Doesn't mean we never make a misstep. Doesn't mean we ever have a mistake and we need repentance. That's not what I'm talking about. But are you endeavoring to follow God's plan for your life? Have you put your life on the shelf? Have you put your desires on the shelf? Have you put you and me and all the selfish stuff on the shelf and said, Lord, have your way with me? See, people think that when they do that, they're giving up so much. But Jesus said, unless a man loses his life, he'll never find it. What does he mean? I'm going to go over here, the only in crew. You got to give them some love over here. I always feel a little like I'm a little weird over here. I don't know why. I step over to this right side, and it's almost like I feel naked. No, you know, maybe that's not the right thing to put in your head right now. People running to the bathroom real quick and, you know, here, and stuff like that. But anyways, the reason I bring this up is because the will of God for your life is where the blessing is. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. That the will of God for your life is where the blessing is. And so many people fight against the will of God. And Jesus said, unless a man loses his life, he won't gain it. And what that means is everybody's trying to get, we have this idea, we only get a short time. We got to make sure we fulfill our bucket list, right? That's the new popular thing. If I don't get to do everything I want to do, well, let me tell you something. Everything you want to do might not be on the agenda of what God has for you in your life. And people say, well, then I don't want to serve God because I'm going to miss out on this. No, you have it backwards. You don't understand. When you lose your life and the desires that you have and you follow God, that is where the most joy will ever be. That is where the most peace will ever be. That is where the most victory will ever be, the most health and the most prosperity. See, my thought in my mind, a few years back, the Lord said to me, He said, as the years go by, you are going to hunt less and less. Now, see, you don't understand. When He said that to me, I wanted to bawl my eyes out. Hunting to me is it's like my natural passion. Besides spending time with my kids and anything with the church and my family, it's my passion to be in the woods. I love it. I just love it. I would be there every single day if I could. And He spoke to me, said, as the years go by, you are going to be hunting less and less. And I remember I fought Him on that. And I thought to my mind, how could I ever enjoy life and be happy hunting any less? Now, if you know how much I hunted, when it was hunting season, morning and night was there. I'd quit jobs. I'd shun school and do all sorts of back out on responsibilities to make sure I could be in the woods. I'd spend money that I didn't have. I'd do all sorts of things just to get out to be able to be in the woods more. And I thought, man, if I give that up, how am I going to enjoy life? And then I remember I was in a Cabela's, which is down in West Virginia. If you've never been to Cabela's, it is like hunter's paradise. It's like hunter's dream. Like you walk in and there are like animals that are like mounted in taxidermy style all over. I mean, it's just like, I thought I walked in and I was like, this must be heaven. When I went to Cabela's in West Virginia. And I was there, we drove 3.5 hours, and I kid you not, I was there for less than a half an hour, and Courtney, there's other stores around there, and she likes Cabela's, but there's other stores that she wanted to go to. And I called her after half an hour and said, I'm ready to go. And she couldn't believe it. And I, what are you talking? I said, it doesn't do anything for me anymore. Where I'd spend hours in there, and I remember being in the camel section, tears coming down my eyes, because like, Lord, what you told me years ago and being in your plan means more to me than hunting and spending all this time. And it might not seem big to you because maybe you're not big into hunting, but what is it for your life? And it's not that God's telling you have to give it up. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is be open to his plan. Be open to his purpose for your life. That's where the blessing is. And I remember just tears streaming down my face saying, Lord, I don't care about this anymore. I care about serving you. And it's interesting. This year I've hunted the least that I've ever hunted my whole life. And I have the most deer and the quickest. I've killed 5 deer already. And that's not bragging because you don't understand. I don't do that normally. I've hardly hunted at all. And they just keep coming by me and just getting shot. And so it's like, the deer need to just stay away this year. See, when I'm doing God's will, it's just like before I'd strive and strive to be out there and I wouldn't fill my tags, and now I can't keep the deer off me. Praise the Lord. My freezer is so full, praise God. And less and less. But why? I'm in the plan that God has for me. And if I could get you to be in God's plan for your life, peace in your marriage, peace with your children, peace in your finances, peace in your body. So that's what we're talking about today. And he said, I'll direct your paths. But notice he said before that, in all your ways acknowledge him. Now let me ask you, do you believe that God would ever direct your path to something bad? Do you think God would ever direct your path into any turmoil, anything that's going to cause calamity and hurt in your life? He absolutely wouldn't. Doesn't mean tests and trials won't come, but God, when God brings you somewhere and tests and trials come, it's because the tests and trials are trying to keep you from that increase that God has for you. And so he says, I'll direct your paths. But he says the caveat or the warning or the asterisk to that happening is, in all your ways, you have to acknowledge him. Do you know what that verse tells me? That as a Christian, you have the opportunity to never make a mistake ever again. You have an opportunity to never make a wrong business decision. You have an opportunity never to get involved in the wrong relationship, to take the wrong job, to live in the wrong part of the world or whatever. If you'll, in all your ways, acknowledge him, he will direct your paths to what's right for your life. But we have a whole church, and I don't mean this body of believers, I mean the body of Christ, who knows nothing about this. They have no idea about this. They're off wandering, doing their own thing, and they're stumbling here, and they're stumbling there. Why isn't it working for me? Are you in all your ways acknowledging him, or are you just out on a whim? Hey, you know, it sure feels good. It must be right if it feels good, right? It sure sounds good. It must be right. You know, I love what y'all must be praying, because one of the things on that prayer list, I prayed for boldness and utterance. And so much has been coming out lately that's not even on my notes. So I appreciate your prayers. And keep praying. Keep praying. But if you look at the life of Abraham and Lot. Now, I didn't even plan on going there today, but I need to bring this out. Abraham and Lot, the Bible calls them both righteous. But we study Abraham. He was our example. He was our father in the faith. And the Bible says if we're saved, we're blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham had a nephew named Lot. And if you look at Lot, it got to the point where they were about ready to separate, Lot and Abraham. And the Bible says that Lot lifted his eyes and beheld the plains and all the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we know the end result of Sodom and Gomorrah, that it was filled with filth. It was filled with all sorts of, just bad stuff. And the Bible says Lot lifted his eyes. And then the next statement is so key in there in Genesis. It says, and chose for himself. Never consulted God on should I go there? Because he looked and it says he saw that it was well watered, that the agriculture looked good, that it looked like a thriving place. It looked wonderful. It looked increase in my pay. Oh, there's a pay raise to go there. But God never said to go there. And he went there, and you read the rest of Lot's story. Lot got kidnapped, right? Lot actually had some intruders come to the door that wanted to have relations with him and the people in the house. Lot actually got to be so bad, he offered up his daughters to be basically like sex slaves for these people. Yeah, and then he ended up having incest with his own children. All from one bad decision, his life spiraled downhill. Why? He lifted up his eyes and chose for himself. Never consulted God. And people in the body of Christ do this all the time. Oh, she's so pretty. Yeah, you don't even know the baggage that she's bringing to the table. Oh, he's got it all together, but you don't even know what he's going to bring to the table. It's going to be revealed in a couple of years. Oh, that job looks good. You know that? I remember counseling someone in the Jamestown church who had miracles happen in their life. And they said, the Lord opened up a job for us in Syracuse making more money. I said, oh, did he? I said, well, let me ask you a question. What church are you going to go to there? Because let me ask you, what happened before you came to church? Our life was hell. What happened since you got into a Bible teaching church? God's blessed us and things have turned around. And so you're telling me that it's worth your family and your kids, putting them in jeopardy over a paycheck, to pull yourself out of the perfect will of God. You didn't even ask God about it. You just thought, well, the money's more. It must be God. Never consulted God. Took the job. And guess where their life's been going? Just like Lot. Down, down, down. Now, can God lead you to a job with more money in a different city? Absolutely. But never where there's not a church where you can be fed. Amen? His number, remember when he told Peter, he said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. The number one thing that God is interested in with you is you being fed the word of God, because that is how you'll be blessed. Amen? But Lot chose for himself. And so many times Christians are choosing for themselves. They're going by feelings. They're going by what their mind says. And God doesn't lead you through your mind, and he doesn't lead you through your flesh. That's not how God, he doesn't lead you through goosebumps. He doesn't lead you through tears. He doesn't lead you because, oh, that feels nice, and oh, they make me feel so good, so it must be God. No, now, you might find the real pretty one or the real one that's got everything together, but you can have a witness on the inside of your heart if they're right for you or not. Amen? Hallelujah. I love the story that Brother Chris D'Amico tells about how he's a minister that comes to the different churches, and he's based out of Florida, and he's just a mighty man of God. He tells a story how when he was a young man, that there was all these other ministers who weren't following God. And I'm going to show you how to follow God today. They weren't following God. They were trying to hook him up with all these ladies, and they kept saying, you know, we got this girl for you. She loves the Lord. She's in church, and she's such a blessing. And well, they actually, now this is so awesome that a man was able to follow God like this. He said, we have the one for you. She was runner-up to Miss Louisiana. So you can imagine, probably a very pretty, pretty girl, and he's a young man. They sit her across the table, and she is into him. She wants to start dating him and eventually marry him. And he's sitting there the whole time across from the runner-up to Miss Louisiana, and the Holy Spirit saying, she ain't the one. Now, let me tell you what most people would have done. Let me tell you what I would have done before I knew God. I'd been like, she looks nice. She's into me. Let's go for a date. Right? That's what I would have done. And he sat there, nope, that's not what God has for me. Well, guess who he ends up marrying? Miss Louisiana. He didn't get runner-up. He got Miss Louisiana. Praise God. And it's so funny because I have to tell this because it'll add a little humor to the service. If you know Chris D'Amico, he stands in the office of a prophet, and prophets are weird anyways. Like, they're not like the pastor that's ooey-gooey and lovey, and just, they're just, a pastor or prophet needs to be alone and by himself and just pray all day and hear from God. They're just a little bit different naturally. Maybe not sometimes, I'm not saying for him, but sometimes maybe, you know, how a pastor can just talk and be social. Sometimes that don't work for the prophet. Well, he was telling this story, and I'm always getting picked on around the minister's table about how my sense of humor never comes out and how I never say anything funny. And it's because I'm just so reserved around these people. I just want to show honor. I don't have anything to add to the conversation, so I just sit there. And so I'm always getting picked on. So I saw my chance to this guy. He's telling the story about how following God and how, you know, he didn't go with what the world wanted, which was runner-up, and he followed God and got Miss Louisiana. And I said, you think that's good? I said this to him. Now I'm trying to be Mr. Funny Man. And if you don't know him, that won't be as funny to you. But I said, you think that's good? You ended up with Miss Louisiana? I married the homecoming queen of Sheffield, Pennsylvania. What do you think about that? And he looked at me. He kind of chuckled. He's like, that's real good, bro. I'm like, okay. So that's why I never say anything around anybody. So anyways, praise God. And so we have a whole body of Christ that has no idea how to follow God. They don't acknowledge him in all their ways, and their paths go this way, and their paths go that way. Heartache, turmoil, poverty, depression, fear, anxiety, worry, sickness. Why? You're not following God. Do you want to know the key to really, you know, we say all these things about this rule, this. Really, the key to being blessed is just being where God wants you to be. And then everything falls into place. Glory to God. Well, let's go back to verse 5, Michelle, if you wouldn't mind. Said, how do we get our paths directed by God? Well, here's the answer. Trust in the Lord with all your flesh.
No.
Trust in the Lord with your mind and what feels good and what seems good to your head. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it goes on and says, and lean not unto your own understanding. Or what? Lean not unto how you think it should be. You know, we look at verses before in Isaiah 55 where the Lord plainly says, your ways, not my ways. Your thoughts, not my thoughts. And then in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are death. People do things their own way financially because it seems good. Leads to death in their finances. They do their own thing in their family. It leads to death. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Praise God. So the Lord is telling you that the way your paths are going to be directed are by trusting in what he speaks to your heart.
Right.
Not what he speaks to your mind, and not what speaks to your flesh. How many of you know, in that gentleman's flesh that day, and in his mind that day, runner-up to Miss Louisiana, if you're a single guy, is probably, you know, in your flesh and in your mind, not a bad thing.
Right.
But follow your heart, right? Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's go to Romans. Or actually, first let's go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. So the Bible says to be led by your heart. Praise God. Save you a lot of heartache. Save you a lot of turmoil. Save you a lot of wrong decisions. You know, a lot of times people get in a mess. Now, here's the awesome thing. Let me first throw this out there before I say this, because the point of this statement is not to throw you into a place of condemnation. But there is suffering in the body of Christ because of persecution from the enemy. And then there's suffering in the body of Christ because we just don't do things God's way and we reap the wrong consequences. Now, let me say this, though. If that's you and you know I'm here today and my life is a mess because of me, and you have, and I don't mean you're saying because of me, but you're pointing at yourself. If you can say, if you can honestly say, listen, I know my life is hell on earth because of the decisions I made. Let me tell you something. God wants to forgive you. And God wants to fix it, and God wants to make it better, amen?
Amen?
Even when the devil comes in and messes with you, and God looks at you and says, my boy or my daughter's in trouble, I'm going to help them. The same way, when you mess something up, and then you say, Lord, I'm in this position because I did it, I ask you to forgive me. Well, the Bible says he forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness, forgets your sins, so now he sees you in a problem, but he doesn't see you in a problem anymore because you put yourself there, because he can't remember how you put yourself there, because he said to you in his word and swore to you by his word, I won't remember your sins. So now you mess up, you put yourself in hell, you ask yourself, you say, Lord, I'm so sorry I did this. He forgives you for that, and now he looks at you and says, they're in trouble, I got to help them. I don't know how they got there, but they're in trouble and I got to help them. So let me tell you something. If you're here today and you've messed up your life, ask him to forgive you and get on board and it'll all turn around. It'll all turn around. God is a good, merciful God. But why I say that is because the majority of times people find themselves in a pickle because of the decisions they've made, because they didn't take the time to say, Lord, is this what you want for me? Lord, is this what I should do? Lord, is this the decision I should make? And then they don't do it, and it doesn't work out, and they have this majority of church idea of whatever will be, will be. Listen, the devil tries to put that thought into people's mind because it absolutely destroys people from walking in their plan with God. The idea of, well, if it works out, it'll just work out because that's the way God has it. Now, you know what that does? That takes the responsibility off the believer. Just, well, Lord, whatever will be, will be. Go ahead and keep thinking that way, and the devil will have his way with you. No, you are the author. Your life and how it turns out has way more to do with you than it does God. Way more to do with you than it does God. How you following God, he said for you to acknowledge him. You know what that tells me? He's not going to be beating down your doorstep to try to get you to follow his plan. He's not going to be pounding you over the head. In fact, doesn't it say that the Lord speaks with the still small voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the big old club that says, bam, don't go that way. Or, bam, don't do that. You're about to walk into something. Why? Because he wants you to seek him. He's not going to come and beat down your door and, you know, like dive on your legs and have drag you along. Like, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you. And God's just holding on. Don't do it. I'm warning you. No, that's not how he works. That's not how he works. And we better figure out how God works. Amen. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man. Wow. The spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord. Now, you have to understand culture. When this was written, there was no electricity. So guess what their electricity was? Fire. A candle. And what would they do in a dark room? They'd light that candle. And they'd see, oh, better not step there. I might trip over something. Oh, wait, watch out. There's a corner there. You're going to run into it. That candle would guide them, right? And keep them from stumbling. That candle would help them to walk into safe places and to go where they should. And the Bible says that the Spirit is the candle of the Lord. What's he saying? The way the Lord is going to direct you, the way the Lord is going to guide you is your inner man, the Spirit of God, not the flesh, not the mind. The mind's not the candle of God. The flesh is not the candle of God. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. How's God going to direct you? In your spirit. How's God going to tell you whether or not to take that job? It ain't based on the numbers. It ain't based on the city. It ain't based on how comfortable you are. It ain't based on this and that. It ain't based on how she looks. It ain't based on how he looks. It ain't based on a whole bunch of things in the outward. It's all based in here. I have learned to stop asking my pastor questions about things because I get the same answer every time. Pastor Mike, what's your heart say? What should I do? What does your heart say? Because I've come with different scenarios. But, you know, I'll tell you this. If we would have went with the natural, we wouldn't have this building. We wouldn't have this building. Absolutely not. The numbers didn't line up. Not even close. Wouldn't have this building if I would have went with the natural. And when I was taught, I'm like, man, I was seeking counsel on this. You know, the finances, this and that, this and that. Stop, Pastor Mike. What does your heart say? God's not leading you by the checkbook. God's not leading you by what the builders are saying. God's not leading you by the natural realm. He's leading you by your heart. And we have people that are making decisions in the body of Christ, I'm saying as a whole, that are making decisions by the checkbook, by what the numbers say, by what the outward appearance looks like, by what feels to the flesh, by how it just comforts the mind. We have people that are supposed to do things maybe that are really hard on the flesh and hard on the mind, but because they're hard on the flesh and the mind, they back away from those things. And it was God's plan all along to press through that thing and get into more. Yeah. So we have to learn to develop and to understand that God's speaking to us in our heart. Romans chapter 8, let's look at that real quick. Oh, wait, before we go there, look what it says there, because this is what you need to understand. Searching all the inward parts of the what? Belly. What's he saying? That spirit of man? He's not talking about the natural thump, thump, thump. He's talking and telling you where it's located. That candle's located is down in that belly region. You know, okay, how do you know what I'm talking about? Well, let's all make up our mind right now to go rob a bank after service, okay? Let's just all say, yep, I'm going after service. I'm going to blow through the doors, and I'm going to go in there and get all the money. Well, something down here don't feel good, right? That's that spirit man saying, that ain't right. Don't do that. You're going to be in trouble if you do that. Romans chapter 8. You getting anything today? Praise God. To keep you safe. Keep you safe. I'll tell you, you do a lot of yourself a lot of good. I pray this prayer almost every single day. Lord, it ain't about me. It's about you. What are you to have me to do? Because I understand that if I do his will, my kids are okay. If I do his will, my finances are okay. My safety and my protection is okay when I do his way. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the flesh, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the mind and how it seems, they are the sons of God. Nope. For as many as are led, how's God going to lead you and guide you? Into those paths? The Spirit. Those directing your paths, those paths that God has for you. That the Bible says were finished before the foundations of the world. Prepared and made ready beforehand for you to walk into. blessing, prosperity, the right relationships, the right job, the right business, health for your kids walking in the plan of God, your marriage being perfect, all those plans that God has for you. He'll lead you into those plans by the Spirit of God. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And so we have to understand something. We have to really understand that God is not leading us through our mind, and God is not leading us through our flesh. You know, I tell this story, and it's such a good example. I was when Courtney and I were living with my dad for the first year of his marriage because he had a stroke in 2004, I was working on a farm. That's where I would park every day. I wasn't actually working for a farm, but I was working for an oil and gas company. But I'd park at a farm, and I'd meet this guy named Fred, and we call him Hulk Hogan because he looks like Hulk Hogan, and he's like 70, and he's got muscles like Hulk Hogan, and he just really likes being called Hulk Hogan. It kind of makes him excited. So we'd call him the Hulk, and I'd meet the Hulk every morning. And he had an Australian shepherd on the property named Cowboy. And Courtney grew up with dogs her whole life. Her family always had dogs, and we were living with my dad, and we had this Cocker Spaniel. And it kind of became, at the end of the Cocker Spaniel's life, kind of like my dad's dog. My dad was sick, and my dad bonded with him. And Duke, the Cocker Spaniel's name was Duke, bonded with him and just really became close. And, sometimes that's good for people to have a companion like that. And so it wasn't really my dog anymore, and we lived with him. And we just lived in this little room upstairs. And, you know, one thing that, because I disobeyed God a lot back then, but one thing that was really hard for me was to see, you know, that my wife, that we couldn't have our own place, and that she couldn't have her own dog. And it really weighed on my emotions. And I'll tell you, if you're an emotional Christian and you go by emotions, you're going to be in trouble. You know, it doesn't mean you can't have emotions. That's not what I'm saying. But if you are led by your emotions, you are in trouble. And I was led by my emotions. And I was on this farm, and he had this one-year-old Australian shepherd named Cowboy. And this dog, every day I'd come, it'd run out to me. I'd play with it. I'd just very fond of dogs. At lunch, it would come, and I'd feed it some of my food, and we'd sit there. And they saw the interaction I had, and they left the dog outside. And this was an older couple, and they had a little lap dog that stayed inside with them. And they came to me and said, "Mike, we see how much you love this dog, and how much the dog loves you, and you're going to be able to give it more exercise. It's so energetic. We'd like you to have the dog for free." Well, when I heard that, I had grown quite fond of that dog, and I went home. And I made the mistake, without asking God, I told my wife that there was a dog. And that was the end. It wasn't even a matter what God has said. She said, "I want it." And so I went back, and I drove down there the next day, and the whole time my spirit, like just flashing sign on and off, alarm sounding, "Don't get the dog. Don't." And my mind is telling me, "Already committed to my wife. I want the dog. I'm going to break my wife's heart." Being led by the mind and being led by the flesh. And my spirit man, the inside, the consciousness of me was saying, "Don't get the dog. Don't get the dog." I got the dog. And this dog was a farm dog, had no shots, fleas everywhere. So I took the dog to a groomer and I took it to get all its shots. It cost me $200 and some to get the dog looking good and healthy and everything. Had the dog, got it home. Now remember, this dog had been around other dogs. The daughter of this guy would bring her dogs around, which was another Australian Shepherd. They'd play, they'd run. He was wonderful with that little dog. Just so good around other dogs. The first 5 minutes I had that dog in the house, it almost ripped the head off that Cocker Spaniel. Never would have seen that coming in a million years in the natural realm. Never would it. And what that did is that really upset my dad. You know, he had a stroke and his mind already was having a little bit of problems. And emotionally, this really upset him. And also, I didn't want to see Duke get eaten. I still, you know, that wouldn't have been a nice sight. But this dog became, I mean, it was like this dog became possessed. And the whole time, God was trying to warn me. The whole time, God was trying to tell me, "Don't do it." And the whole time, I went right through and did it. And what happened? Well, it cost my wife the emotional heartache of, because she went and saw Cowboy before we brought home and just fell in love with the dog. I mean, this dog, besides what happened, was just incredible. And she fell in love with it, so now I had the heartache of my wife. I had put my dad in a bad emotional state when he had just come out of the hospital from this major traumatic stroke that he had. And I was out $200 and some, so I'm sending this farm dog back as prissy and as proper and as full of shots as this dog's ever had. I'm like, "Can't take the dog, but here it's back. She looks really good, doesn't she?" Yeah. The whole time you say, well, that's not something major. But boy, I sure would have liked to kept that $200-some in the heartache.
Right.
Even the little things. Yeah. And I'll share one more story and then we'll close. And then I think next week we're going to look into, Lord willing, if he, and when I say Lord willing, not Lord willing if I'm going to be here, Lord willing if he would have me share this. And you say, Pastor, let me explain that. Why do you say, Lord willing, that you're going to be here? Well, you know, the Bible says with long life I'll satisfy you, right? I'm 34 years old. If I pass away this week and don't come back next week, that ain't long life and I'm not satisfied. So I look in the Word and it says I can have long life. I'm not going to say, you know, Lord willing if I'm here next week. That's not faith, by the way. So that's why I say that. Let me just explain and teach that one real quick. The Bible promises me I can have long life and live till I'm satisfied. Well, I ain't old yet and I'm not satisfied, so I will be here next week. Praise God. What I'm saying is, Lord willing, if he'd have me teach on this, we'll look at how to develop the Spirit. Because hours have been spent developing this. People spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop this. And we spend hours and hours puffing this up. I mean, we give this baby 6 meals a day, a little bit of snack in between, some cereal before bed, some TV for hours. And we build our flesh up, and we don't spend any time on the one thing that God's going to lead you. And that's why the outer man and the mind get so big and the spirit becomes so small. And people have no idea when God's talking to them. So we're going to get it laid in foundation today that we need to follow our spirits, and then we're going to learn how to develop our spirits, Lord willing. But let me just share this last example with you, and we'll close. When I was getting ready to go to Rhema, and some of you heard this, but it'll help you. When I was getting ready to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in 2003, because I went in September, or August of 2003, I had been there, I had a year before heard in a service in Fredonia, during the salvation call, I heard the audible voice of God tell me during the salvation call, when heads were bowed and eyes were closed, I heard the words, go to Rhema. And I popped up out of the salvation call and looked around. Everybody's heads were bowed and eyes were closed. And man, this was a time where the goosebumps, they were God, because I'd known I had heard God's voice. Now, when he does something like that, if you study in the Word, you don't want a supernatural manifestation like that, because the reason he does that most of the time is because you're going to need it down the road. And I'll tell you what, I needed that confirmation that I was supposed to go there down the road. But anyways, so I heard go to Rhema. I went to their Winter Bible Seminar in February of 2003. Saw Brother Hagin preach his last Winter Bible Seminar. Heard in my spirit, you're not supposed to just go here for Winter Bible Seminar. You're supposed to come here for school. So the following August, I was getting ready to go away to school. And my dad and I, this was before he was sick, we had a gym membership at a church heading down towards Pennsylvania. And my dad had a restaurant down there and all sorts of things. That's how we got to know these people. And they had a gym membership, so we had a membership there, and I was working out there. And I was on the treadmill one day, I remember. I think it was the treadmill or the stair thingy or one of those machines. And the pastor of that church was working out with me. It was only us two in that room. And he started asking me, and he knew there was a call on my life, and I hadn't been talking to him about it before. And he knew that I had a way with youth, and I still do to this day. My heart just goes out to people, kids, because I wish I had somebody like me in my life when I was a teenager that would tell me the right way and would help me and tell me about Jesus and all that stuff. And so I just have a heart for those young people. And so he knew that, and he said to me, so you're going to go to Bible school in Oklahoma? He said, well, don't you like to hunt? I mean, he was laying it on thick. I said, yeah, I do. That's going to be a bummer. And don't you have a girlfriend? Yeah, I do. And it's going to be tough to leave her. And man, how much does that cost? Well, you know, I'll just be honest. I wasn't getting any help from my family, because my family probably thought I was about a lunatic at that point. I mean, I had like 26 jobs in 2 years and done all sorts of different things. And now all of a sudden, the weirdo of the family wants to be a preacher. You know, I mean, I had said things. I mean, my mom, can I get an amen, mom? my mom's back there. Nobody's going to be doling out money to all of a sudden a crazy guy who found Jesus and all of a sudden wants to go to school and be a preacher. So I was on my own, and rightfully so. And I was getting ready to go, and he's throwing all these things out at me. He says, why go away from your family? Why go away from hunting? Why go away from your girlfriend? Why go where you're going to, because when I went to Rhema, I had to get a full-time job and go to school, which means I went to school from 8 in the morning till noon and went to work at Reese's Deli from 1 o'clock till 10 o'clock every night. And it was hard, and it was tiring, and I had, you know, it just wasn't the easiest thing to do. And I know some of you have had to do probably some of those things, or maybe you are now, and you can testify. It's not the easiest thing to do that. And he's telling me, like, why do all that? He said, listen, I'll send you to a Bible school in upstate New York. You can come home every single weekend. He said, we'll pay for you to go there. And on top of that, when you come back home, we will give you a full-time job as our youth leader with benefits and everything, and we'll sign the contract before you go. Now, you tell me what sounded good to my mind and my flesh. Because my mind and flesh thought, oh, I don't have to leave court. I can hunt on the weekends. I can come home. I don't even have to get a job there because they're paying for it. I can just devote full-time to school. Everything in the natural. Let me tell you what most people would have done. Deal. Where do I sign up for? Because everything else was going to have to be hard. But see, just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's not God. Right. Amen? And so I knew in my spirit, don't you dare take this offer. You follow God. Even though that meant I'd have to pack up my 1990 Nissan pickup with almost 200,000 miles and rust in every spot you could see. Pack it up full and drive to a place where I had no friends, where I knew nobody, away from my family, away from this girl that I was madly in love with, and go down there all by myself, find my own apartment, find my own job, go there without a job, go there with just a little bit of money in my pocket, and go there and believe God. That doesn't seem easy to the mind, and that doesn't seem easy to the flesh, but it was 100% the will of God, and had I not done it, I would not be married to her, I would not be pastoring this church, we would not be going forward in the plan of God had I followed my flesh or followed my mind. I followed my spirit. And so the important thing to know from this message is God's not leading you in your mind. God's not leading you by your flesh. And we're going to look at more of this, like I said, Lord willing. It seems like it'll be good, though, to delve into this, because now it's like, I don't want to just leave you with, well, then how do I develop this? I can tell you how to develop this. I can get it to where God's speaking to you, that in all your ways you can acknowledge Him, and you can have the confidence. You know, some of you have big decisions. What should I do in life? What should I do with my business? What should I do with this relationship? What should I do with that? God has an answer for all those things that is perfect for your life. Should I go away to that school? Should I pursue that career? Should I do this? Should I take that job? Should I move here? When should I do this? When decisions in your life? What decisions in your life? God has the answer to every single one of them that will always work out for you. If you will take the time to develop this on the inside and let Him drag you around and lead you. You know, I always say this, Lord, I'm your rag doll. That's what I say to Him. I'm your rag. What's a rag doll? Just does whatever you do with it, right? Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to do that, I'll do that. Why? Because that's where the blessing is. Amen. Well, praise God. We see it's the Spirit. So we'll look at it in the next weeks. You guys will have to either come back or get it by live stream. Praise God. So it'll be archived, though. But let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, You just want to keep us safe. Father, too many people are flesh Christians or mind Christians, intellectual Christians. And Father, they're led into wrong things, and they're led into even things that seem good and even things that look good. They're led into them, and it was never Your will. It was never Your will for Lot to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Father, You knew what was waiting for him when he went there. You knew what the outcome would be. And Father, it's so interesting that You loved him so much that You didn't beat down his doors and throw up 30,000 red flags and jump in front of him and say, Lot, don't go there. Nope, Lord, You let him make his own decisions. The Bible says Lot lifted his eyes and chose for himself. And Lord, devastation and destruction followed. Well, Lord, that's not what You want for Your children. Father, that's not what I want for the people of this church and the Only Hand Church. Father, my desire is to see every single one of them walking in Your highest and best. And the way that's going to be accomplished, Lord, is them following their spirit and the inward man and the inward witness. So, Lord, we thank You for today's message. We thank You for enlightenment. We thank You, Father, for encouragement. We thank You for truth here this morning. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and to close your eyes. Nobody looking around. I pretty much know everybody in this service, and that, you know, I can pretty much go out on a limb and say that we've all accepted Jesus, but I don't know that, you know, 100% sure, and I definitely don't know who all's listening by live stream. There could be someone in Kansas listening right now, or Africa, we don't know, and so it's good to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. But if you're listening to the sound of my voice, whether in this building or or over the internet, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer isn't a 100% I would go to heaven, that's an indicator that you need Jesus. And the good news is that the Bible says that Jesus made it easy. That if you just call on his name, he died on the cross and rose again from the dead for your sins. And the Bible says if you call on his name, you're saved. Doesn't say you have to jump through a million religious hoops. Doesn't say you have to clean up your act. Doesn't say, well, you've been too wrong to accept Jesus. No, if you believe in him and you confess that and accept him into your life, the Bible says you're saved. So if you can't answer that question that, man, I know I'd go to heaven, that means you need Jesus. In this building, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not trying to embarrass anybody or put anybody on the spot. But if you want to receive Jesus this morning, don't let another minute go by. Don't let another second go by being unsaved. Get in the family of God. Get into a place where you have a God who leads you into good things. If you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed in this building, would you just lift your hand and then put it right back down? Is there anybody at all in this room that wants to receive the Lord that never has? You're uncertain about where you would go? Is there anybody at all? I don't ever like to rush this. Would you just raise your hand if there is? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, but we don't know if that means people are shy or... And also, we don't know who's listening. So, Father, I just thank you that you've made it simple. And Lord, I'm just going to lead everybody in a prayer here today. And if you're listening by live stream or if you're in this building and you know, man, I should have raised my hand or I know he's talking about me, I need to receive Jesus. Everybody in this room is going to repeat a prayer. And it's going to be a prayer to ask Jesus into your life. But if you want Jesus into your life, don't just say those words and don't just repeat those words out of vain repetition. Mean them with all your heart. So if you wanted to receive Jesus but didn't raise your hand, or if you're listening and you know that you should, pray this prayer with us. Can I get everybody to repeat this after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. You know what's awesome? How simple did God make it? Right? I mean, you don't have to do this, this, and this before God loves you. No, he just loves you and wants you just to believe in him. So praise God. Thank you so much for coming out today. I'll tell you, you're learning stuff that will keep you safe, that'll keep you from trouble financially, trouble relationship-wise, and just overall trouble in your life. So hopefully you'll come back to hear part two, but have an awesome rest of the week. Again, no Wednesday night service, and we'll see you all back here again next Sunday. You're dismissed. Don't forget to sign up for the books. My skin.